Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Amin, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Jay, and welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am an author. I write contemporary romance, pretty steamy stuff. I write a lot of medical romance. I have a background. I was a nurse practitioner for over 10 years, so I have a lot of history with that. I tend to write billionaires, also pretty spoony kind of guys who tend to fall very hard for their ladies. I've been doing this for almost 9 years, something like that. I'm wife, mom of three girls. I live in Connecticut. Pretty much me.
Oh, good. So good stuff. So let's talk about your romance journey. When did you get started, like from reading to writing to all the good things about it?
Writing was always sort of like a stress reliever. It was never something I considered doing as a career. It was sort of just to help me, I guess, detach from stuff. So especially like in graduate school, it was a big stress reliever for me to just sort of write stories and get lost a bit. And so then after graduate school, I had my girls. And then after I had my third, by that point, I had written, I think, two books that were actually more than that, but a few of them I don't think will ever see the light of day. But two actual books that have been published. And I don't know, like I just did it. Like I really, it was bad. Like I didn't do like market research. I didn't do covers. Like I didn't do anything. Like I did all the things wrong that you should never do when publishing a book. But I learned very quickly and got editing done and got covers made and all of that stuff. So, and I just kind of did it as a hobby. I had my girls, I was working for time, and it just kind of was something I did. And then slowly it started to build and to build and to build where I was releasing like 4 books a year kind of thing. And it just kept going. And then really, I guess before COVID hit, I kind of made it more full time. And then once COVID hit, it just became full time. Like that was just really my slingshot into that. So,
well, that's amazing. That's amazing. Very annoying. You're like, you build it in, but that's the beauty of the backlist, which we'll talk about it because there's plenty to go. But it's a video.
Yes.
How important is to build the backlist? I think sometimes we get caught up with the shiny object, the first book, or like it's just the one thing. And the reality is like 10, 20, 50. Like I benefit from my backlog of podcast episodes. So I have 700 of those. And
wow.
It's like, but I get really good downloads, not just in my new episodes. It's actually in the backlist that she gets to download. It's like that's the workforce, but it's a bad
thing. Yeah. And that's, I don't remember who, and I don't want to misquote somebody, but somebody had once, like sort of speaking to that point, somebody had once, an author had once said, but basically she said, like, your backlist is, like you said, it's your workhorse. It's like what should, like, I guess more or less like pay your mortgage if you can get to that point. And like your new stuff is your new stuff. But your backlist is really, that's sort of your core. And I think there is so much to be said about that.
Yeah, especially when books being, if you go viral, like a good example, like it's pretty normal now to see books go viral and all stuff. The reality is
I've never done that.
The books are actually making the bigger thing for the money, and the books are like, oh, there's more books after this. Because once you consume one, the idea is like,
you're likely to go back to where it started or where it goes and what it does.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you just have like this person's bending, and then it's like multiplied by thousands or however thousands of this. You're bending all your backlist titles, and it's like, well, those are the pages read. But switching KU, yeah. Those are the pages read, but you know.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And like that's sort of, we get to like on our KDP dashboard, it shows it like your top, like, I don't know, 10 or something titles by that. And so I get like, yeah, I get to see sort of the backlist continue to be there, which is like, it's like the best. It's so nice to see that.
Awesome. So let's talk about like writing medical. So I was like, oh, these are with doctors, which I actually don't see that often. And I know why, because it's actually really hard to write doctors and write the medical accurately
and get it correctly. Yeah, and get it correct.
Get it correctly is very different. I work in a medical field and not in healthcare. I work in healthcare, but not in healthcare. But I'm very knowledgeable about all the different diagnoses and like different specialties and what does it make sense? What does it make sense to prescribe things? And what does it make sense? Mm-hmm. The foreign insurance services, I work in that field. And so, so it's interesting to see like that. I wish there was like more stuff, but it was like, no, a lot of doctors have a lot of time. I listen to Freya McFadden. She's a doctor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's a surgeon.
Is she really?
Yes.
She's out. I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
She's like, she's still practicing. So like, we're just like, I'm like, oh, we're not even practicing anymore.
No, seriously, like, that's amazing. Good for her. That's incredible.
But yeah. So when I know it's like creature of habit, you find a career as a nurse practitioner, you probably know like the brain specific, the dental stuff, and it helps you how to talk to the doctors. It's been like feeling enough to be like, oh, maybe I can go with a doctor.
So like nurse practitioner, like we sort of practice as doctors. So like a lot of like some of the things, I mean, minus like surgery, because I've never been a surgeon and I didn't like working in surgery. Like as a nursing student, I hated surgery. So I didn't do it that often. But yeah, I mean, like there was always like I grew up watching like ER and like, and I loved Grey's Anatomy and all of that stuff. So, I mean, I haven't watched Grey's Anatomy in like, I don't know, since they killed McSteamy. So it's been a while. But yeah, like I liked the notion that, first of all, like you said, not a lot of people write it or they don't write it well because Google is not accurate medically. So like that's just never a good thing to do. So I liked the challenge with that. I liked being able to take something that I'm knowledgeable about and still have that part of myself because I love medicine. I love being a nurse. I love being a nurse practitioner. It just wasn't practical at that point in my life. My middle one is she was just diagnosed with Crohn's actually during the pandemic. And so she was on double immunosuppressants. And so it was like, I wasn't risking going into the office with that. Just wasn't going to happen. So, and it just presented a sort of a perfect time to continue this and to make it more of a career. And so I love being able to write in the medical field and it just is my niche. It just totally fits me so well, I think. I mean, I write rock stars and I've written rock stars, but all of my doctors are billionaires because I love the billionaire mentality and just the fun of writing that. So I do sort of play with more fantasy, I guess, even though it's not real fantasy. But so there's still like the romance book trope stuck with it. But I like writing real medicine within these books, I guess, is what it is.
Yeah, I love this. All right. So let's dig into your backlist. Let's dig into where to get started. We got different generations. We got NextGen. We got this early gen. We got this rockstar. Like, where do we get started? As someone who's just read on the now, read the reading, and it's like, okay, well, now I need to know. What I need to know.
So some people like, so I guess so it's so funny. Like, I've been getting this question a lot. So this series, so the new series is Next Generation of the Edge series, my Boston Billionaire Bachelor series, and my Irresistibly Yours series. So these are the children of that. And it can be read in the standalone. each of these books can be complete standalone. And then I do have the family tree in the front of the ebook and the paperback just to make people, yeah. just to help their sanity. Because I do mention names of uncles and aunts and cousins and things, and it can be a little daunting. But so if you're one of those people that is like, I like to go to the beginning and like go through, then probably the Edge series, starting with The Edge of Temptation. Estlyn, who is the heroine in Undeniably Forbidden, her parents are book two in that series, which is The Edge of Forever. So she's Arya and Wes's. But in terms, if you don't care about reading all the way through, and this is yeah. going to sound strange, and I don't know why, but people always be like, oh, what book should we start with of yours? And I always say Dr. Scandalous. And I don't know why. I just, Dr. Scandalous is always like my go-to book. I think it's just sort of the main lead in to this world, I guess, yeah. even though it's sort of not at the same time. But I just, the Boston Billionaires Bachelor series, I think is probably still, it's probably, I guess, the book and the series that sort of changed my life and really got me more serious with doing all of this. So I always just naturally say Dr. Scandalous. But if you're like a start at the beginning and want to do it that way, probably The Edge of Temptation is the way to go.
All right.
So the Rockstar series, which is my wild love series, it does sort of weave in, but not a ton.
Right. Talk to me about Dr. Scandalous. What does it all about? Why we should read it? Like, we should read it. So what's one of the tropes for Dr. Scandalous?
So Dr. Scandalous is a billionaire. He's a doctor. It's a fake engagement. It's this couple who went to high school together. She was the poor girl, like the scholarship girl. He was the popular rich billionaire kind of guy. He comes from a family of billionaires, and all of the sons are doctors. And their little sister, Rena, is a nurse because she did not want to be a doctor. She's sort of a I do my life by my own terms kind of person.
Yeah.
But she did not want to be a doctor and deal with that. So she wanted to become a nurse. So she did. But so they meet it. They like, basically, it starts where like, he's like, I don't want to go into this reunion. My ex is in there. He had a pretty bad breakup with her in college. And he was like, I don't want to go in. But his best friend, Grace, who is actually Owen's mom, is there. And she's like, no, you need to come in. You just have to do it. Like, just do it, get it over with, whatever. And so he sees Amelia, who was the scholarship girl, sort of getting picked on. It's like $100 entrance fee to come into this event. And she can't afford it because her life, she is the guardian of her little sister, Layla, who was the heroine from Irresistibly Wild. But she's the guardian of Layla, and she's really been struggling since their parents died, and it was a bad situation. So Oliver Fritz kind of swoops in and is like, oh, like, hey, like, this is my fiance. He pays, or this is my, I don't think he's his fiance then, but he like pays the fee, and he walks in, and like the two of them go back and forth, and he's like, let's go in as an engaged couple. Neither of us wants to do it, but like, let's go in. We'll show everybody up and like, let's do it. So they go in and the whole thing blows up. And they end up sort of going viral, and his mom sees it, and his mom is sick. And so, but she's really like, her whole dream is that she wants to see her kids settled. So he doesn't have the heart to sort of say no, and Amelia needs something in return. And so they venture down this whole fake engagement episode with each other, which is a very public, it becomes very public for them both. So that it's a very funny and very dirty, and it's still one of my favorites of all the books that I've written, as you can probably tell. So
yeah. I am actually painting this one out right after this. So like, after finish on Only Forbidding, I'm like, oh, this will be the next one, and I'm just gonna put it.
Yeah, and I always tell people to start with that one, and then I'll get yelled at, be like, but what about the Edge series? I'm like, yes, the Edge series is great. And I love the Edge series, but for some reason, I just always say
no. I knew about my fake engagement. I'm like, yeah, meow. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, perfect. Because I love when the forbidden, yeah. They do the nanny, the forbiddenness of the nanny single dad romance, and the little parent and all the boys with that, and the like, the extended family and everything together. But you have a fake engagement, I'm like, yes, I'm here for it.
I love fake engagement. Fake relationships are one of my favorite.
Fake relationships are great. I'm like, It would not work in real life. It would not work. But
no.
In the Roland's world, I'm like, yeah, give me more. It's not a reach.
Absolutely.
And we're to convenience, like any type of like force proximity, then like, have to make sure they're together all the time. I don't feel sure.
I write a ton of work. It's funny because I was going through like tropes and stuff like recently. And I was like, this is probably like the fifth or sixth book in a row where force proximity is one of my main tropes. I was like, wow, apparently that's my thing lately. So, but I love it. Like, it's one of those things I can't get enough of. I love putting these two people together and just sort of seeing where they go and what happens with them.
But I think the moments you kind of need to have close proximity. Like, it's a given. Like, the characters need to hang out and interact with each other.
Yes.
And so, you know, make them, like, as an author, like, make them connect. And so, like, what better way than a big engagement or a convenience or a marriage or, like, a kidnapping or whatever it is. Or like,
I haven't done kidnapping yet. I mean, I should probably do that.
Maybe an option will be, like, the dark world of the Boston Millionaire.
Yeah, right.
Like, I think it'll be the
possibility. Or a fun kidnapping. I'll make it a fun kidnapping. Is fun there such kidnapping. A thing? I don't know, but.
Yeah,
who knows?
I'm,
yeah, why not?
If I was kidding, I'd be like, okay, maybe like both and you're really song, but now I'll just talk to you about like random shit. Like, the only
I know. I totally have like Stockholm syndrome just from all the books I've read. So
fans are like, oh, me up for a look like kidnapper. Like, what is happening? So it's all good. All right. I was wondering a little bit of Undeniably Forbidden, but what is that on your pitch and why you should pick it?
So Undeniably Forbidden is a broody single dad who he has to hire a nanny for his little girl who's going into first grade. He's got a sort of a really awful ex-wife who put them through the ringer. But so he goes out one night. He's supposed to be meeting his best friend who he hasn't seen in a few years or hasn't like. His best friend's moving back to Boston. And so after a few years. So he goes to this bar, the best friend's flight connection gets canceled. So he ends up meeting this woman at the bar and they flirt. And it's like so out of his norm. And he's like, basically, like they go and they have a super hot, steamy night together. But they both sort of knew unspokenly, but they both knew it was just that night. Like that's all they wanted. Then the next day, he discovers that the woman he met that night was Estlin, and the woman he thinks he's hiring is his best friend and little sister, Eddie. But Eddie's middle name is Estlin, and he hadn't seen her in about 10 years, something like that. She's 12 years younger than him, so he hadn't seen her since she was like a 12-year-old. And there was nothing there between them before that. So he basically is sort of now stuck in this position where he needs to hire Estlin as the nanny for his daughter, who is his best friend, little sister, and he had a one-night stand with her. And he's also insanely attracted to her, so which isn't the best scenario for him. So there's a lot of tension with that. They definitely have just off-the-charts chemistry with each other from the start. There's just something about the two of them. And she pulls sort of a different side of him than I think he's ever had out. And he sort of gives her, she also had sort of a bad past with her ex. And he sort of helps give her confidence and like help her regrow her confidence. And just the two of them together have this just really great dynamic. And that with the little girl, Rory. They're just like the three of them just have this really powerful dynamic together that I just loved writing. Owen was one of my favorite characters. I had him in my head for a very long time. And he's my Mr. Darcy, basically.
Yeah.
He's my Mr. Darcy, like through and through. And I love writing that about him.
He does Darcy vibes. Like he's super.
Yes, he's very much Mr. Darcy. He's protective. He's grumpy. He is. Yeah, he just has this air about him. But it's really based more around his need to care for those around him and to be cautious and to not let those that he loves get hurt again.
Yeah.
So he was my Mr. Darcy.
Oh, my God. Julie, tell us where you find online.
So, I mean, my website, certainly, which is jsamanbooks.com. or Amazon. Most of my books are in Kindle Unlimited. My Christmas novellas are not. Those are wide, and that's usually how they stay. But the majority of my other books are in Kindle Unlimited.
I got a show.
Yeah. Of course. It's great.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.